Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leadership Lessons. I'm Pastor Adam. Thank you so much for being with us and joining us today on the podcast. I'm going to go in and just begin to share some things that have been on my heart. You know, if you listen to part one of this mini-series that I'm doing for leaders, I talked a little bit about, right at the end of it, I said, are you leader enough to have a disagreement with somebody without starting to dislike the person just because they disagreed with you? And really touched on the fact that disagreement doesn't mean betrayal. And we shared a little bit about our having our ability to have a 360 degree vision, being able to see all around us and not being just consumed by the criticism or being consumed by what people may say. And so I want to pick up with that same realm and say this statement, and that is, you have to become comfortable with controversy. No matter who we are or what stage or point we are at in our leadership, and no matter who it is that you're leading, you have to be comfortable with controversy. I've learned that God will expose you to controversy on any level, at any level, so that you could become tough enough to handle it on another level. You know, you have to get comfortable with it, because either you will be controversial or what you did will be controversial. You know, as a leader, I've learned that in myself. Either I am controversial or something I've done, a decision I have made. Think about it like this. Most people will say, I don't like him. And I've come to learn and realize, and just through maturity, through walking with the Lord and really learning so much leadership from the Word of God, I've come to learn that because people are back row thinkers, what they really mean is that they don't like what I did, but they haven't progressed enough in their thinking to communicate it effectively. And so many times we'll make statements like that. We'll say, oh, I don't like them. And really what you mean to say is you don't like what they did. You know, let me try to expound that a little bit. Make yourself a commitment that you won't say you don't like somebody that you have never met. Make yourself a commitment that you won't say you don't like someone that you haven't ever met. You know, I think about, many of you may watch some of the singing competitions or shows and those sort of things, like American Idol. You know, recently, the show has been on and it's getting ready to wrap up a season, and someone said to me recently, oh, I don't like one of the judges. They said, oh, I don't like Katy Perry. And, you know, that's easy to say. And what I heard them say was, it's that they don't like necessarily something, who she is. They don't like what she has done on the show. They don't maybe like her personality, or they don't really like things that she does. But I can't say that I don't like her because I've never met her. I don't know anything about her. In other words, what I'm saying to you, friends, is just because you are trying to do a good thing doesn't mean you will be recognized for doing a good thing. All right? And so many times we do. We try to do a good thing, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be seen that way. It doesn't mean that we're going to be recognized for doing a good thing. In leadership, you have to get your heart toughened up from moving to the back row to the front. All right? You have to. And so as a leader, you can't have the same kind of thinking that back row thinkers are going to think. You know, the people who are just sitting back there and it's easy for them to be critical at the praise team or how things are doing or something that isn't working right. You know, I've had that happen where, you know, people can be really critical about, you know, the words on the screen aren't changing quick enough, or the service is too loud, or, you know, they can't hear this or they can't see that. And, you know, so many people, it's easy for them to be critical, but yet they won't volunteer to help make it any better. They won't try to join the team to try to make that experience better. And so as a leader, I've learned I just got to get my heart toughened up and realize I'm not a back row thinker. They will mature, they will progress, and not get bogged down in it. You know, get rid of the sensitive heart from being on the back row and toughen it up. You know, I'm not saying be hard-hearted. I'm saying that you have to understand that you will have controversy from the outside, but also from the very people that you are trying to help. I've had to learn that I cannot get offended. I cannot allow myself to lose sleep over the opinions, the thoughts, the being people who I'm trying to help and them being critical. You know, think about it this way. Moses was trying to help the children of Israel, and he got more from them than he did Pharaoh. You know, in other words, you have to be comfortable with it. You're going to be a leader. You're going to get attacked by the very people you are trying to help. You just are. And so you got to be comfortable with dealing with it. You know, look over your life. Look over in your circle of friends. How many of you have tried to help someone who was hurting you? You know, Moses is a really good illustration, but we need to develop the weaponry of Nehemiah. You know, Moses is a really good illustration. I love, there's so many leadership principles when you look at the life of Moses. And we can look at Moses to learn some leadership principles, but we have to develop the weaponry of Nehemiah. Remember back, the Word of God says that Nehemiah was building back the walls of Jerusalem, and which it was helping the people of Jerusalem. He is being fought on every side, the Bible tells us, and he began to build with a trowel in one hand, but you have to have a sword in the other. You have to be building and fighting at the same time. And this is where a lot of leaders get it wrong. I preached a message once on that very subject, build and battle. You can't stop building and become engrossed in fighting, and you can't stop fighting and focus on building. I believe that's why God gave you and I two hands, because we need to build with one hand and fight with the other. All right. And so many leaders, we get so focused on building that we stop fighting, and we get so focused on fighting that we stop building. You've got to remind yourself, and you've got to remind those leaders you have, you've got two hands. Build with one and battle with the other. Build and battle, my friend. Build and battle. And you've got to understand as a leader, I don't care if you have a church of 10 and it grew to 30, that the more you build, the more you battle. All right. If you have 300, 3,000, 30,000, the more you build, the more you battle. And then finally, friends, when you get to the place, the people who are fighting you will change their mind. I'm telling you, finally, you will get to that point where you will build and you will battle. And then there will come a point where finally you will get to the place, the people who are fighting you will change their mind. I mean, even Job chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest." Hallelujah. You know, think about Luke 12:48. It says, "To him to whom much is given, much is required." See, if you're going through a battle right now, it's because you're building something. See, I don't get weighted down and stressed out and worked up over the battles that I'm in. I've learned that I'm going through a battle because I'm building something. The battle is because I am building something. Your battle is because you are building something, my friend. You cannot wait for the controversy to stop for the movement. You cannot wait for the controversy to stop for the movement to go forward. And so many leaders, I've heard pastors and lay leaders and just different people say this, "Well, I'm waiting for things to calm down," or "I just want to maintain," or I just need to steady the ship, or I'm thinking, don't you know the word? You know, don't you focus? Don't you really, you know, it's one thing to preach the word, and I used to be guilty of this. I was young and put into ministry and was serving as an AP, and I didn't even know, what am I supposed to do? Even though I grew up in the church and my parents were in ministry, I was like, well, what? I was struggled to find my role. And so I didn't have a lot of leadership development around me. And so I just began to dive into books and John Maxwell and leadership conferences and resources. And I had to learn, and I learned this through then becoming a senior pastor very young, that I could not wait for the controversy to stop. I could not wait for people to stop complaining. I could not wait for the congregation to get to a certain size. I couldn't wait for the finances to be just right for the movement to go forward. I just couldn't do that. All right. You need to understand as a leader that you must build and you must battle at the same time. And that requires you to have the right leadership around and underneath of you. You've got to have the right people holding your hands. You have to have the appropriate people working closely with you and understanding their strengths and understanding their weaknesses and knowing when to let them do on their own and when to sort of give guidance and more instruction. You know, of course we know that Jesus was a great leader. You know, Matthew 16, Jesus said, "Who do men say I am? Some say thou art Elias. Some say this, some say that." When I read that, you know what I hear the Lord saying? That you and I are often so controversial that your enemies don't agree. I mean, think about all the things. I mean, I think about myself. I mean, the things that people have said about me over the years. You know, and there are, of course, there are some things that people will say and there's truth to it, or there's a partial truth, or they don't know the full story, or, you know, they haven't walked in my shoes and all of that. But there are just lies. There's demonic activity. There are people who are out, who are being used of the devil to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I've really, sometimes people will say things or people try to like whisper something to me that someone said. And number one, I don't want to hear it. You know, if you really love me and if you really believe in me and the ministry, then you won't hear it either, and you'll rebuke it when you hear it, right? But I chuckle at the very things that I've heard over the years that I've learned. I'm so controversial that my enemies don't even agree. I mean, you know, think about that. See, it's not the statement of the one that responds that amazes me in that text. It's the silence of the 11. Think about that. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say this." You know, and then, and 11 of the disciples sat there and said nothing. Nothing. 11 said nothing. When you are in leadership, you are leading people who do not know who you are. That's what I learned from that. And if you can get 1 out of 12 to understand who you are, I think you're doing really well. Most people I learned sitting under me as a leader don't value me, and they don't value what I have. You know, I've seen people come and go, and people would be like, "Oh, Pastor, you're just great. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for this." And then they turn around and, you know, get mad about something completely off the wall and leave. I mean, I've watched an evolution of just people, like a rolling door at our church sometimes. And I'm thinking, you know, do you want these cards back? Do you want these letters, these emails, these texts, all these things that you've said so great about me? And it took one stupid thing. That you didn't understand a decision or agree with something and it made you leave. It's because they do not know really who we are. They don't value who we are. You need to understand that about yourself. People often do not value who you are. All right? They just don't. They don't value what you have. And if you don't understand what you have, you will fool around and lose what you have. As a leader, you've got to know what you've got, what you have. I have to know when a pastor friend or someone calls me to preach, teach leadership, or I had a friend ask me to come and preach on why giving isn't working, and the truth of the Word of God. When the Word says that God will rebuke the devourer when you and I give our tithes, and they were like, "Oh, I couldn't preach that in my church. You need to come preach it." And I understand. When I go into a place, I need to understand what it is I'm packing, the anointing that God has placed on me, and my assignment. And that's true also as me as a leader. I have to understand, friend, you have to understand what you have, or you and I will fool around and lose what we have, right? You've got to also follow someone close enough to understand what you've got. See, I believe anyone in leadership who is leading people who doesn't understand who you are, you are struggling to do it because you are being unappreciated and you become frustrated. And really, people will handle you any kind of way because they don't understand what they have. All right? You really understand what I'm telling you. Anyone in leadership who is leading people who don't understand who you are, you are struggling to do it because you are being unappreciated and you become frustrated. Oh, Lord. My. I could spend a lot of time just on that alone, but God's given me an assignment for today. You know, think about that text. One guy says, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Peter knew who Jesus was. How did he know? He knew on the basis of that knowledge that he had. Peter gets to preach then the inaugural message of the birthing of the church. Because you cannot pass your mantle to people who do not know who you are. Think about that text. Who do you say that I am? Well, some said this and some said this, and all the other disciples, like, you know, are silent. And Peter says, but you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the moment Jesus knew you are going to preach the inaugural message on the day of Pentecost. I can pass my mantle to you. Leaders, you've got to know who you can pass a mantle to. You know, think about Elisha. He wanted a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And Elijah kept saying, no, not yet. You haven't seen enough. You haven't seen enough. And he told him, if you are still here when I go up, you will have it. In other words, when you've gone through this and that with me, when you've gone through all kinds of things with me, then you'll have it. But you can't have my mantle if you don't know who I am. Friends, people, the people that we lead, the people that follow us, they need to know who we are. You know, I'm not afraid. And it's sometimes, let me be honest, it's to my detriment. I've allowed, especially through this current church plan, I allow leaders and people get very close. I've allowed leaders to get in and they see the good, the bad, and the ugly of me. They've seen me in a bad mood. They see me if my attitude's not just quite right. And I want them to realize and see that ministry isn't just the anointing you see from the platform. That the anointing operates when you're in the office. It's operating when you make a decision, and that it's weighty. I also want them to see often the frustration and the way in which we flow in and out of the anointing, and how my attitude can get off. And I wanted them to see all that. And by doing that, it also lets people see really who you are. And so if they've not progressed from being a back row thinker, they'll use it against you. They will use it against you. You've got to allow people and be transparent with people and let them see who you really are as they progress in their thinking, their development, and their maturity. I really believe that. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I want to say something to you. I'm just thinking about the direction I want to go with this, because if I get into too much, the podcast would end up really long. And I try to keep them, you know, a reasonable time for you so you can receive and not become overwhelmed or just too much to listen to at once. Can I just share something with you just briefly about commitment? Friend, you cannot inspire people to follow your lack of commitment. All right. As a leader, I know that I have to be willing to be the last one to leave the ship. As a pastor, as a leader, I have to be willing. It doesn't mean I will, but I have to be willing to be the last one to leave the ship. You know, a few weeks ago, we were doing our Friday night services, and so one of the older ladies in the church, she was counting money and that with some of the others. And she, by the time she got done, everyone else was gone. It was just her and I. And it was late, and we're at churches in the city. And I said, you know, so I watched her get to her car, watched her get in the car, made sure she was safe. You know, and I have to be willing to be the last person to leave the ship. I can't inspire people to follow a lack of commitment. You know, because I've learned, this is true about you, people follow what they admire. Have the mentality, you will be committed to this, all right? Because if you're gonna be a great leader, do not commit to more than your competence. I touched on that in part one, all right? Let me explain it this way. There are people who volunteer for everything, and their heart is so big, their head is shrinking. I'm grateful for people who wanna serve and be a part and help in all kinds of ways. I am. But their heart is so big that their head is shrinking. All right. I like to sometimes pull people off to the side and just share with them, hey, you know, you're doing a lot right now. You're really involved. I want you to make sure you're staying focused on where God wants you. Stay focused on where you have a passion for. Because if you keep jumping up and stepping up, you're eliminating the opportunity for someone else to exercise their gift. You know, the moment that the Holy Spirit shows me someone's getting burnt out, they're doing too much, you know, I have to speak up, you know. And the reason I say that is because along with our commitment, there is a need to have character, all right? Because commitment without character, you and I as leaders, we become Hitler. Anytime people have commitment, but they don't have character, it leads to monarchy, travesty, degradation, slavery, human abuses of all kinds. Commitment without character always leads to chaos. All right, it just does. It leads to chaos. So you and I have to set boundaries. It may be important to focus on what you won't do. You know, I won't sell out. I won't steal. I won't go against the pastor. Is there anything that you won't do to get ahead? You know, maybe you need to answer those questions, what I won't do. Because sometimes we have a hard time narrowing down and saying, these are the things I want to do. Because there's so much we want to do. Maybe you need to start just by making a list of, hey, these are the things I won't do. I'm not going to go against leadership. I'm not going to, you know, do this, that, right? If you want to know about somebody's character, I'm going to tell you this. Leaders, listen to me. And the same thing for you. If you want to know about somebody's character, watch how they treat people they don't need. All right? Think about that. I've had the opportunity of, you know, whether it's I'm out to eat all the time or I've been at luxury hotels in my life and I've taken pastors to dinner and I've watched the character of some people and it's shocking to me. You know, I've watched people who have the means at a luxury hotel and they don't even tip the bellman. Or they leave a crummy tip for a waitress because they don't need them and they just dismiss them in the manner in which they treat them. Friend, that's been something that the Holy Spirit told me a long time ago. He said, Adam, pay attention to the people that you don't need. Pay attention to them. Pay attention how you treat them. And boy, have I learned from that. I have learned from that. And that I need to treat people that I don't necessarily need with the same manner of respect and honor. You know, I went through Subway a few weeks ago. And, you know, I got myself a foot long or whatever. It was like five something. And all I had was like a 20. And instantly, as I was waiting on the change, the Holy Spirit said, do not take that change. And I thought, but God, you know, that's like 15 bucks, you know. But I knew, I could sense it. And the Holy Spirit said, no, give it to her. And so when she put her hand out the window, I said, no. I said, you keep the change for yourself. She said, are you sure? I said, yes, I'm sure. You know, and yeah, it would have been easy. She gets paid. They don't expect tips. They don't allocate for tips in their wages there. But, you know, 15 bucks maybe seems like nothing. But it was a blessing to her. It was a blessing to her. It was a blessing to her. Friend, sometimes you and I, just as leaders, we get focused on the people that we're leading. We get focused on our team of leadership only. And I've been guilty of that in years past, that I would meet and become so intertwined and focused and working just with my leaders that I was dismissing others. I wasn't necessarily as available for them, or I didn't serve them. Friend, I want you to really start paying attention, whether you're at the grocery store or out to eat or going to the airport or it's just others that you're not leading directly, because it's a real test of your character when others can watch how you treat people that you don't need. How do you treat the people that you don't need? You know, I want you to really think about that. Allow that to speak to your heart. You know, friend, I shared something, a message, many years ago now, on there are three groups of people: confidants, constituents, and comrades. And I was going to get into that today, but I'm not. some of you may have heard me touch on that before, and I wanted to go into some depth with that. But because there's some depth in that already, I think I'll hold that to another Leadership Lessons podcast for you. But friend, I just like sharing my heart and teaching you the Word of God and teaching you leadership principles that I believe are helpful and that will help you to grow as a person. And I hope that's what this will do. I hope that not just today's, but part one, I pray that, anything that we share, from whether it's a leadership lessons or it's an excerpt from a message or it's from a guest, I pray that it will bless you and that it will help you in some way. You know, we love to hear from you here at the ministry. I love to read your emails, your comments, you know, all of those things. And so will you visit our website, just go over to freshfirechurch.net, click on Contact Us, and you can send just an anonymous note there and just let us know, you know, that it ministered to you, that it blessed you, that they help you, or what, maybe there's something that you want to hear. Be happy. I'd be happy to take your suggestion and just share with you what I can about a subject that we've not yet covered. And again, the website is freshfirechurch.net. And of course, connect with us on social media. You can find the links to our social media right on our website at freshfirechurch.net. And you can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I'd love to hear from you. Friends, we love you. We're always praying for you. And I pray that God will just develop you and grow you as a greater, stronger leader in Him. And friends, as always, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.